is a special day for all of our church family because it's a special day for Aled and Joe. Yesterday, Aled was ordained presbyter or priest in Chester Cathedral. And today, at the earlier service, it was his first sermon as a presbyter. And today, at this service, it's his first communion service as a presbyter. And for a short while, we're going to ask about ordination, whether we need ordination, whether we need presbyters, considering what presbyters are and their role. As you're probably aware, the Church of England has three orders, three things people can be ordained: bishop, presbyter, and deacon. This time last year, Aled was ordained deacon. A deacon assists the presbyter, serves the church, and in the Church of England, the time as deacon acts as like a probationary year to test the calling, to see if somebody should be ordained presbyter and take responsibility for themselves. So that's a good sign that you've passed the probationary year well. Congratulations. Yeah, that's great. I did show you the report, I think. Yeah, I did, yeah. And so let's go on to the question, should we call presbyter or priest? The word used most often of this role in the New Testament is presbyteros or presbyter, sometimes translated elder, which is probably the closest translation. Whereas the word priest is really an Old Testament word to describe the temple leaders who conducted the ceremonial sacrifices. In the New Testament, Jesus is the one and only sacrifice for sin. So no need for any more for priests. The New Testament talks about the priesthood of all believers. All Christians can know God directly by his Spirit through Jesus and introduce others to God in that way. And similarly, the New Testament only has one place where the word priest is used of a specific leader. A New Testament leader. That's in Romans 15, verse 16, where the phrase is a priest of the word, a priest of the gospel. That is the point of priests or presbyters in the New Testament. Responsibility for bringing God's word to the people. So I guess either word is fine, presbyter or priest, as long as it's understood in a New Testament sense, and that it's about responsibility for the ministry of God's word in his church. Now, here's another big question. Why do we need people to take responsibility for the ministry of God's word in the church? Surely, you know, we had Day of Pentecost last Sunday. Since then, all God's people have been called and equipped to spread the word. Yes. The Spirit poured out upon all Christians. All are taught by the Spirit. Yes. But we still need some to be set aside in order to help everyone do what we're meant to do and spread the gospel better. And I guess the principle which we see working out in God's economy is this. If you leave something and it's up to everyone, then no one does it. Call someone to be responsible for helping everyone to do something, and it might well get done by everyone much better. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and following, we're told that God sets aside some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors and teachers, so that all may be better ministers. That's the principle. That's why we have presbyters in the church. And now let's look a bit more at that calling. It's a hard calling, and we get that. We see that in our second reading, the one I'm going to go through briefly now. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and following. If you want to follow it, please do. It's in the Church Bibles on page 230 in the New Testament section. Page 230 in the Church Bibles, New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the letters of Paul to Timothy are particularly designed to think about this aspect of church leadership, because Timothy was a young presbyter and Paul was training him from a distance with the help of communications like these letters. It's encouragements to the young presbyter as he was trying to make his way in leadership. It's a hard calling. We see in verses 1 and 2, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. You get a feel from it just in those phrases, don't you? Being responsible for the teaching of the word and the leading of God's people is one of those things we do and must do with great care. And in the front of our minds must be, we're responsible to God for this. He's the judge. We're answerable to him. That's one of the things that helps us do things better, knowing that we're answerable. And that's how this chapter starts. And he uses the phrase, I solemnly urge you. Take this seriously. And then verse 2, proclaim the message. Proclaiming God's message, what it's mainly about, being responsible for that. And actually, you wonder what attributes will that need? Will you need to be a flashy speaker? Will you need to be whatever it is? Well, no. Persistence is the first thing that's mentioned here. Be persistent. Whether the time's favorable or unfavorable, be persistent, it says. Because we are called to preach the message of God, whether it's trendy or whether it's untrendy, in season or out of season, whether people want to listen or whether they don't want to listen, we are to be persistent in preaching God's message. That's hard. Like most people, we only like saying what people like to hear. But that's not the calling. The calling is to be faithful to God's word, whether people want to hear it or not. That's how it works, and that's one of the reasons it's so hard. If we only like saying what's presently acceptable or politically correct, then we're not being true to the calling. If we're faithful presbyters, we will say what God's word says, when it's unpopular as well as when it's popular. And we'll need patience in following this through, because there'll be different aspects of applying this. Convincing, rebuking, and encouraging. All of those matters come as we apply God's word to our lives. And that needs patience. It's not something we just rush into or do without thought or care. It's something which requires patience as well as persistence and courage to address the things which need addressing, to be a faithful minister of the Lord. And if the presbyters do it well, then everyone is more likely to do it. And that is God's economy. That's why we need presbyters. Originally, I had the imaginative idea of entitling this sermon, "What Have Presbyters Ever Done For Us?" Those who remember Monty Python and a particular sketch might understand that. So going on in verse 3 and verse 4, it says, "For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths." That is true. That's how so many people can be. In our age, that feels like that's true, as well as in Paul's age then, as well as in lots of other ages as well. That's another reason for presbyters. People seem only too quick to turn away from good teaching, good doctrine. It's rejected. This is part of our bias to sin. Even those who have loved and heard the truth choose to stop hearing it and instead listen to other teachers who tell them what they want to hear. And these days it's easy to find them, isn't it? You just go on YouTube or something or somewhere and find who you want to hear. Buy the book of the person you want to follow instead of receiving God's word as it's been given. So we need presbyters to teach the whole word of God, to show us when we're off track and to help us back on track, reminding us not to hear just what we want to hear or not to find less challenging teachers teaching like myths and self-help, desire fulfillment, but to follow God's word and continue following God's word, even if those around us seem to be falling away. We need presbyters to help us keep on track. It's costly. It's costly for presbyters. But it's a good calling, such a good calling, when well done. There is one more aspect to being a presbyter in this little passage that we need to consider. For a presbyter, teaching, preaching gifts are vital, but probably more than that, alongside that, good character is vital. It says in verse 5, "As for you, Timothy, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully." And there are just some aspects of good character that I recognize as being very important with a presbyter. Be sober. That doesn't just mean abstain from drunkenness, but that certainly doesn't help. So no drunkenness, no wild excesses, but being sober means being ready. Don't know if you notice you're in a party where lots of people are having a high time and getting out of control. If something shocking suddenly happens, then it's the ones who are sober who are ready. Often the ones who are drunk aren't ready, find themselves in big trouble. So being sober is about self-control and being ready at whatever moment. It's part of good character, and presbyters need good character. Endure suffering. Enduring suffering takes character. And actually, enduring suffering grows good character as well. do the work of an evangelist, that is, share the gospel of Jesus with newcomers, as well as regulars. That takes character, reaching out. And do not be half a job Henry. Carry out your ministry fully, is what it says. So many of us feel the urge to do the bits of jobs we like and don't do the bits of jobs we don't like. That's a bit of a temptation when we're presbyters as well. And it's so important that those with the call to be a presbyter don't have that sort of attitude, but face up and do the bits of the job that, which are difficult, challenging, and take some following through. Not just the nice bits. Part of the necessary character of being a presbyter, carrying out your ministry fully. What a good calling if we're called. What a necessary calling for keeping the church on track. And it is a calling to responsibility for the ministry of the word and leadership with good character. We need both good preaching and good character. People who practice what they preach, preach what they practice. We need more people to be presbyters. And it's great that Aled is the newest of us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your call on all of our lives. Please help us to be true to your word and able and willing to share your good news. And thank you, Lord, for the call of some to be presbyters. And we pray, Lord, that those presbyters may do their role well for your name's sake and for the building up of all of us for your name's sake.